listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Right now, Golden State Fez taking some money. The Warriors, a 5-point home favorite. Let's talk this line move because we've seen it here recently in the last hour, some movement here. But we've seen some movement prior to the last hour. Where's this line been and where are we at now? And what are you seeing as far as the market, Steve?
Yeah, so Wednesday night, shortly after the game ended, this line opened, Golden State -5.5. And frankly, I thought that was a pretty good line, Brad. I did not expect that Durant was going to be able to play game four, but I like that -5.5 line for an opener. But what happened then yesterday, Durant got confirmed, not going to be able to play this game. Who knows if he's going to be able to play any of these games? Line drops down to 4.5. Golden State only a 4.5-point favorite. Well, today, the pros are coming in on Golden State, and they just bet Golden State up from -4.5 up to the current -5.
Let's talk about the first move that we saw right after the game, 5.5 down to 4.5. The thinking behind it is Kevin Durant being ruled out for game four. I know there was some, we joked about it yesterday a little bit. Steve Kerr came out and said he was cautiously optimistic that Kevin Durant could play. And then all of a sudden, like an hour or two later, he's ruled out. Is that where we've seen most of that point line move?
Well, I think it's a combination of the Toronto Raptor bettors are looking for a reason why they should bet Toronto. Because let's face it, Toronto's been red hot. 6-1 straight up, 6-1 against the Spurs. Their last seven games. So a Toronto team that frankly much of the year I think was undervalued, especially in the playoffs, has become a public betting darling because of how well that they've been playing. And they played a great game three. And I think that it's a big part about why we saw that money come in on Toronto yesterday.
And you bring up a good point. And where you can go is pregame.com and our game center. We oftentimes look at the ticket percentages in the pregame.com game center. And you can look at not only the ticket percentages, how many people are betting the Warriors, how many people are betting the Raptors, but also the only place where you can see the cash splits for free, pregame.com, in that area. And you're right, Fezzik. I've noticed, I mean, the Warriors are the public team in the NBA. And throughout the course of the season, they are going to get the majority of the ticket percentages on a game in and game out basis. But game three, I saw Toronto getting a majority of the tickets. And even though this is a must-win spot here for Toronto, looking at the game center, looks like the ticket percentages are 50-50, which is shocking to me considering it's such a big game and a big spot here for the Warriors.
And I think there's recency bias going on because let's face it, Toronto, all their starters played such a complete game, game three. Of course, we expect Kawhi Leonard to get close to, if not his 30 points, but think about how the narrative has changed. Philadelphia series, can Toronto keep advancing? They got Kawhi and nothing else. Remember that when he had to shoot 39 times and had to make the buzzer beater game seven? And now all of a sudden, literally every other player in Toronto has been stepping up. Lowry, Van Vliet, Gasol, Siakam, and even Green has been making his threes. At least he did last game.
And, you know, you're the pro, Fezzik. We do have the other side of pros or Joes. My favorite Joe out there is Jonas Knox. Jonas, what's one of your biggest takeaways as far as the line here in game number four, Golden State Toronto?
Well, if we entered into the Golden State Warrior phase of the era to where now people are just betting them because they're sick of them. You heard Draymond Green mention that after game three when he said, well, you know, everybody wants us to lose. I'm sure they're glad those guys are hurt. Have we started to get to the Floyd Mayweather part of things to where Mayweather, you could actually get a favorable line on because so many people wanted him to lose that you get all this public money or you get money from somewhere just hoping that that jerk that they don't like would lose? Are we entering that phase of the Golden State Warrior title run?
You know, Jonas, I think we might be. Let's go back to the Houston series and examine what happened game six when Durant went out. So even though Golden State had been so good with Curry and without Durant, and we have the numbers on that. We'll have Brad quote that shortly. But despite that, it's hard to believe, but Houston was a 7-point favorite game six against Durant. And maybe there was some sentiment there that people are ready for Golden State to finally fall off the perch and they kept waiting for Mayweather to lose. Well, he never did.
That's funny you bring that up, Jonas, because we've seen that in other sports. We certainly saw it, you know, New England, you know, kind of embracing that disrespect mode that this past year, being an underdog, obviously in the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs, that there's some sentiment out there in the public that they want to see some fresh blood here. So I think that's an excellent take on your part. And look, I like to follow the ticket percentages just to see, you know, where some of the bigger bets are. That's why I use it. And really, the last 3-4 games for Golden State, I've been shocked that there hasn't been more public percentages on the Warriors. It's been, you know, believe it or not, Toronto's been more of the public team here in the first four games.
And when you consider the fact that it's a Canadian team going against an American team, and that, you know, a lot of this money is American money, it's surprising. That's why I wonder, you guys, and you've always taught me this, and you guys have talked about this since we've been doing Straight Out of Vegas, that there are opportunities in the marketplace to where you can take advantage of what guys like me do by betting with our hearts. Is this an opportunity where you guys, as sharp bettors as the pros, who know that all this money is coming on because people are so emotional about it, can take advantage of that and try and make a little bit of coin?
You know, Jonas, I'm not so sure that many people really are emotional about this. Obviously, everyone who is north of the border is emotional about this, but there aren't that many bettors there. And I don't know if there's that much of a dog in a fight in terms of the emotions of people betting on Golden State, the American team that they don't really like, or the Canadian team. I just think it's the recency bias of what has the public seen the last three games. Well, they've seen a series where, frankly, Toronto almost was able to win all three games. And because of that and how well Toronto played against Milwaukee, I think that you're absolutely seeing that being influencing the lines. And of course, the Klay Thompson injury, whenever you've got an issue where one team is much more injured than another team. So not only do we have Durant out, but now is Klay going to be 100%? There's certainly that factor as well.
And now, so Klay Thompson, it looks like he is going to play. Steve Kerr has said he is going to play. Kevin Durant is not going to play. He'll be, I'm assuming, coming back in game five, but who the hell knows at this point in time, the way Steve Kerr has handled this. Klay's importance, what is it to the Golden State Warriors, especially when it comes to the betting line?
Shocking. As far, and we've uncovered this here in the last couple of days. The Warriors with Klay Thompson. Let's start off with that. And we're talking the Steve Kerr era, so that's the last 5 years. Golden State with Klay Thompson in the lineup, the Warriors win about 80% of the time. They cover the Warriors, even though they're a very public team and they're expensive, they cover a little bit more than half of the time. About 52% of the time, if you're blindly betting on the Warriors with Klay Thompson. Without Klay Thompson, the Warriors only win 44% of the time. So you go from 80 with them, 44 without them, and just as disparate, covering percentage for Golden State. Without Klay Thompson the last 5 years, it's been 25 games. The Warriors have only covered 6 of those 25 games, 24% against the spread without Klay Thompson. I don't know if the betting market's kind of grasping how valuable Klay is, especially on an already shorthanded Golden State team, Fez.
I think they are grasping it. And look at the game 3 line movement when Klay was questionable. So most of the day, Golden State was laying 4.5. And we weren't sure if Klay was going to play or not. When Klay got announced out 15 minutes before tip-off, the line had already leaked down to 4. There were concerns whether he could play. It was almost like blink, and the line was down to 2.5. So think about that. When he was questionable, the line was 4.5. So that was an uncertainty whether he would play. If he had played, I think the line had a good chance to go up. Instead, it free fell down 2 points. That's saying that the market is well aware how important Klay Thompson is.
Is it well aware for this game? Is it fully grasping how much is worth for this game? Because he's going to play, Fez. And you just told me there it was 4.5 when he was questionable. Now we know he's going to play. It was 4.5 an hour ago. Now it's up to 5. Are they grasping fully how much is he worth right now for game 4 tonight?
I think that they are. But what has happened, because Toronto played such a complete game, that there's a whole lot of Toronto money that was going to come in regardless. I think if Klay was out for this game, we would see that this line would drop right back down to a 2.5.
Well, look, he's not going to be 100%. I don't care what anybody says. And they can try and say, oh, he's good to go and there's going to be no restrictions. if he missed an NBA Finals game 48 hours ago, I find it hard to believe that he's going to be anywhere close to 100% in Game 4. And if he is 100% in Game 4, then that was coaching malpractice by Steve Kerr not playing him last game. Because I can't imagine that Klay Thompson would not come in at all last game because he was so banged up, but be 100% ready to go 2 days later. It doesn't make any sense.
You bring up a great point, Jonas, that this is the one game of the NBA Finals that there is a quick turnaround. These teams just played Wednesday night. Now they're playing Friday night. So only 48 hours. All the other games have 72 hours. So who is that going to possibly be a positive for and a negative for? Well, for the negatives, I think certainly Klay Thompson, one less day to get to 100%. Boogie Cousins, who looks not exactly swift on his feet. It's only his fourth game back in the playoffs. That's a negative for Boogie, and it's a negative for Toronto for Kawhi Leonard, a guy that absolutely, that load management that he had during the regular season when he missed 22 games, he's been playing every game, and we're seeing a regression in his numbers as the playoffs have gone deeper and deeper. Those are the three players I'd be the most concerned about with this 48-hour turnaround.
Now, what about the series price? All right, we're looking at the series. The Warriors are down 2-1. You've got game four coming up tonight, as close to a must-win game as you can have this early on in the series for Golden State. What are we looking at as far as the series price goes?
So Toronto is now a very slight favorite. It's pick 'em, but Toronto is minus 120, so risk 120 to win 100. And the reason this is so significant is that the last 3 years, pretty much Golden State has been favored to win the NBA title for three consecutive years, most of the time right around minus 200. Now, there are a couple blips there where we were concerned about Golden State. In both the Houston series last year and this year, they did hit a point where it was close to pick 'em whether Golden State was going to be able to beat Houston. Both times, Golden State responded. Now, the question is, how much does that say about Golden State? And how much does that say about the Houston Rockets?
Well, here's what we do know is, yeah, right now Toronto's slightly favored, what, about 52%?
Mm-hmm.
52%. I'll give you 80%. History. And this is all time. Best of seven series, NBA playoff history. Teams that lead the series 2-1 go on to win that series about 80% of the time. Big sample size, more than 400 games, 323-83. 80% of the time, the team up 2-1 goes on to win the series, and yet we only see Toronto a smidge of a favorite. I think there's still a lot of respect in the marketplace for Golden State, Jonas.
Now, let me ask you, and Fez, this is kind of throwing this at you on the fly, but if you were, let's say Toronto wins this series, moving, what do you think the series price is at? Toronto's up 3-1. They're going back home to Toronto for game five. They can, in essence, close it out in five games, or they've got another opportunity in six or seven. Series price if the Raptors are up 3-1 after tonight. Ballpark
Toronto
figure.
Will be a significant favorite. I would say north of minus 300. I would like make it minus 340, and here's why. I think Toronto's going to be a slight favorite game five and a slight favorite game seven. So even if they don't win game six, if I still look at it, Golden State's going to have less than a 1/2 chance to win game five, less than a 1/2 chance to win game seven. Multiply them together, that's less than a 1/4 chance to win the series. This truly is a virtual must win for Golden State.
And that's with Kevin Durant looming, knowing that he's returning. If Kevin Durant was not looming, and we don't have that question about his return coming back, is the line even greater than where it's at there?
Oh, I'm not sure Kevin Durant's coming back at all. I mean, this is very much up in the air, but it's a great point. I do think if Kevin Durant, if KD comes back games five and seven, I still think that the line is going to be close to pick 'em. I'm really not sure. Who do you think, Brad? Who would be favored games five and seven with KD back?
Yeah, it's tough because we basically spent the last 2-3 weeks on this show since KD got hurt kind of saying, hey, the numbers say he's really not worth anything. The Warriors win more without him than they do with Steph and him on the floor. So what we last saw was he was worth about 3 points. It's not going to be worth 3 points in the line now, but it's definitely greater than zero. I would still say pick 'em or Toronto's slight favorite, Jonas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
there is some stuff RJ always preaches as far as general thoughts on how to bet, how to become a better. If that sounds odd, it sounded odd when I said it, but how to get better at sports betting. And RJ Bell talked about one of the aspects to it, some things to consider when betting on sports.
This is what makes gambling so difficult, sports betting specifically. On one hand, you got to believe in your core foundational beliefs. On the other hand, the leagues change so fast, especially these days. It's not just what's happening on the field, it's the market. The zigzag's a perfect example. The zigzag is just as prevalent, it's just as impactful today than it was the day it was discovered, like in the late 90s or whatever. I don't think it was ever talked about before that. It's just the market's adjusted for it. So it's not a winning bet, but the effect is still there. So we got to worry about the adjustments of the betting market. We got to worry as bettors about the leagues changing. But then we also got to be like a rock.
So when RJ talks about that, and that was courtesy of the Dream Podcast, you can catch it and link up to that at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. But when he's talking about that, if people out there are listening, Brad or Steve, and they're thinking, okay, what is the zigzag and how does it apply to the NBA Finals? How would you explain it?
So basically, the zigzag is that you're looking to back the team that lost the previous game because they have a motivational edge. They're all in off of that loss to do well. So all things being equal, the team that's off a loss typically takes money and you'd see a point spread adjustment. Now, I can make the case that the zigzag is not being priced properly in this game. Let's look at game three. When Klay Thompson was questionable for most of the week before game three, what was the line? Golden State was laying -4.5 to -5. Of course, it moved right before the game started when Klay was ruled out. But when Klay was questionable, -4.5 to -5. Well, now we look at game four. What's the line? Well, it was -4.5. Now it's -5. Well, what has changed? Well, Klay Thompson's going to play tonight. So that's really important and good for Golden State. And how about the zigzag situation? Well, game three, Toronto was in the home run situation. They were the team that had just come off the loss. Now it's Golden State in the home run situation with the really strong zigzag in their favor off of a home blowout loss. And it's not just your typical good zigzag situation. There are other trend situations that really point to Golden State here, right,
yeah,
Brad?
Let's talk first specifically to Golden State. It's just simple. Warriors off a loss in the playoffs. This is the Steve Kerr era. Last 5 years, when the Warriors are coming off a loss in the playoffs, they win about 73% of the time. And for our purposes, more importantly, the Warriors cover 65% of the time. We're talking 26 games. Warriors off a loss, 17-9 against the number. So that is telling you right there that there's a little bit of an extra motivation, a little bit more pep in the step of the Warriors. And Jonas here, you know, league-wide, as far as specifically to game four, I mean, when you got a home team down 2-1 in the series, so think about this. They're down 2-1 in the series. They're at home. Really could ill afford to go down 3-1, especially considering the fact they're going to have to go on the road for game five. Last 16 years, home teams down 2-1 in a series. In game four, they cover about 56% of the time. Doesn't sound like much, but Fez, what percentage do I need to, you know, quit my job and become a professional better?
You need to drive 55. 55% is what almost every pro I know who does this for a living strives for.
Yeah, that's why they call me old Mr. 54. Never quite there. Never quite
hey,
at 55.
54, you can still make it decent. Yeah. You can be decent. You might be living in a one-bedroom apartment, but I don't think you'd have to work a day job,
Jonas. Yeah, but the problem is I got to count the other 16 weeks in the NFL, and then when I do that, it starts to plummet. Right away. Now, do you guys see that? Is that something that's seen more, the zigzag theory work more in, say, the NBA, to where you can look at a playoff series and really kind of focus in on it? Because I guess it would apply in the NFL to where we do all the overreaction Monday and we overreact to one loss, and we did a lot of that this past year in the NFL. But does the NBA, the league, to where you can really take advantage of the zigzag?
Unfortunately, it's a past tense thing, Jonas, where you could have really taken advantage of the zigzag, and now that dastardly bookie in almost all cases has gone ahead and priced the zigzag properly, such that typically what happens when a team wins, you see the line adjusting not in their favor, but against them for the next game. However, I would make the case that this game, game four, is the exception to the rule where I do not believe the zigzag is being priced properly.
And when did that start? Did the bookie always catch on to this, or was it in the last few years that they've gotten smarter about this?
Yeah, it came to prominence late 90s, correct, Fez? Late 90s, it started getting some traction. I think it was still profitable, obviously, during the 90s and the early part of this century, the early 2000s. But in the last 10 years, it's gone from, if you're blindly betting on it, hitting right around 55%. Now it's down in the 50% range. But like Fez mentioned, even though you're not making money blindly betting on it, it's because it's factored into the line. It's priced into it. It's worth, in some cases, a point, point and a half, even in extreme cases, 2 points. It's just now finally getting properly priced for into as far as the line goes, Fez.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can selectively make money with Zigzag. We can't do it betting every Zigzag situation going forward.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Now, the Zigzag theory, if it held to form, we would all say, well, why don't we just take the Golden State Warriors tonight in Game 4? But, Steve Fezzik, you actually feel like the Toronto Raptors are a bit undervalued in this spot.
Yeah, there's no question that Toronto has been undervalued, past tense. Toronto was underrated during the playoffs. And here's why, Jonas. You look at the underlying stats, and if you look at the East, Milwaukee outscored their opponents by 9 points per game. Toronto only outscored their opponents by 6 points per game. It's not even close. Toronto is way inferior to Milwaukee. However, when you really dive deeply into the numbers, there's reasons for that. I can make the case, look at all the games that different Raptors have missed. Kawhi Leonard, load management, missed 22 games. Lowry and Van Vliet, both out almost 20 games. Siakam, NBA's most improved player. He wasn't very good in November. He's very good right now. Van Vliet is playing at his most elite level after having a baby. And Marcus Gasol has only been on board since February. This is a team on the come that has improved greatly since the beginning of the year.
Now, Brad, we were talking about this before the show. If you were to take this series as a whole and you were to talk about all the ways in which and all the times that Golden State has played better and Toronto's played better, I got to be honest with you, outside of a really impressive stretch late first half into the third quarter in Game 2, this has been all Toronto for the most part in this series.
Yeah, your instincts are correct, Jonas. I just going quarter by quarter. So there's been three games so far in the NBA Finals, 12 quarters in total. Toronto has outscored Golden State in 10 of those 12 quarters. The biggest mismatch being that third quarter in Game 2, where the Warriors start off the third quarter with an 18-0 run. And really, that was the first half of a quarter. Other than that, yeah, and you bring up a good point, Toronto's clearly been the better team. That was the case in Game 1, and it certainly was the case in Game 3. They jumped out to a big lead and pretty much led by close to double digits the entire game, Fez.
And wow, has the narrative changed. Remember in the Philly series when we were like, oh, Kawhi's got to do it all by himself, and now all of a sudden, wow, what a complete team this Toronto Raptors are.
And Brad, we also saw Toronto play really well against Golden State during the regular season as well, too.
Yeah, 2-0 was they only played twice. Toronto won both matchups. And the most impressive one was at Golden State. Toronto beats the Warriors by 20 points without Kawhi Leonard. And the Warriors at that time had Steph Curry, had Kevin Durant. Neither one of those two were sitting out. So a very impressive performance. And now you're starting to look at it now. Five games, Toronto's won four of the five. I certainly don't think they're the better team, but like Fez mentioned, I think they were certainly probably undervalued coming into the series.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
There was a move made in the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles have locked up. I mean, God, for all the personality issues and what a bad teammate and blah, blah, blah that came out on Carson Wentz, he was doing something right because he ended up with a big-time contract, $32 million a year. The guarantees are floating in and around $100 million. We'll wait for the final details and all that. But nonetheless, four-year extension, Carson Wentz is a Philadelphia Eagle for the long term.
And Fez, first, let's take it, because, I mean, we could talk about it, what it means for the Eagles and stuff moving forward. What I want to know is, where does Carson Wentz rank in your quarterback rankings right now?
And this is rankings for just this upcoming year. One season only, Carson Wentz, number 10.
Jonas, I mean, before I hit the green button here, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but I just really disagree. Where would you rank Carson Wentz? Scale 1 to 32, 1 being the best, 32 the worst. Where does Wentz rank in your quarterback rankings?
In between 5 and 8, I would
say.
That's
where I'm at.
Okay.
Fez, where do you have Drew Brees?
Have Drew Brees number 6.
Okay. Why is Wentz only 10? You gonna tell me injuries?
Durability issues. He got the heck beat out of him his rookie year, the ACL. You know, he's so good with those run pass options. Is he going to be able to run them with all these injuries? Concerns about that.
So concerns, and I think to a degree, rightfully so, because with Carson Wentz, he even had an injury back to senior year in college, a wrist injury. So he's practically had different injuries in each of his last 4 years here. So I agree with you. But what I'm bringing up Drew Brees for a reason. Drew Brees didn't look 100% at the end of last season. How old is Drew Brees?
I believe Drew Brees is going to be 40.
40 years old. So no worries, Drew Brees. He's number 6. 40 years old. He's fine. But you're more worried about the injuries on a 26-year-old.
Well, I got a Drew Brees quarterback that the Saints fans would argue should have been in the Super Bowl and has just off the chart tremendous numbers over the course of the season, even with the December slump when he did not look it to be 100%.
Here's the better question, Brad. I got it. And this is an old sports talk radio trick. And don't worry, we'll be doing tons of this in July and we don't want to talk baseball. But here's the move. Since you've got Carson Wentz as 10, who's 9 and who's 11? This is how you piss off fan bases. Who's 9 and who's 11? Fez.
Believe it or not, Jonas, number 11 is Jimmy G, and you know I love okay. Jimmy G.
All right. So you talk about injuries. So the difference between one and the other, Garoppolo, we have such a small sample size on Garoppolo. So, okay, now who's 9?
Matt Ryan.
Oh, I'd rather have Wentz than Matt Ryan.
Mm. How?
That's close.
Yeah, Daryl, the producer, of course, from Atlanta. Daryl, is it possible you're slightly biased for the
I'm
Falcons?
I'm from Compton, but I lived in Atlanta. And Matt Ryan, you guys are not giving him enough credit.
Oh, really? So he's with Fez. Who's 8, Fez?
Number 8, Philip Rivers. All he does is win during the regular season.
Give me Wentz over him. Are you kidding me? Here's a stat, and this is one of the analytics guys out there in Twitter. It's Warren Sharp. This was Wentz's stats last year. He recorded Carson Wentz the best third year in NFL history. Highest passer rating, highest completion percentage, and that's minimum. You got to pass at least 400 attempts. Did so coming off an injury, a little bit different than a nagging back injury compared to a torn ACL, Fez, which is what he was coming off of last year. And where was his help? He put those stats up. Who were his wide receivers? Who was his running back help? I don't see him at number 10. Daryl, you got Matt Ryan still above Carson Wentz?
Yes, I have Matt Ryan above Phillip Rivers.
You guys are... we'll figure out how to bet this. Jonas, are you with me on this? I mean, he's got to be closer to 5 than he is to 10. That's
me. Yeah, I would think so. And again, I understand this is all predicated on his health and all of that. But, you know, when he is healthy, and I think a lot of it was coming off maybe trying to come back too soon, feeling threatened because Nick Foles played the way that he did. I think when healthy, we've seen him perform at a really, really high level. That being said, I give credit to the Philadelphia Eagles for getting the deal done. I think it's better to get these deals done sooner rather than later. The cap's only going to grow. And so if you can get it done now and have more cap space down the road to sign other players, that's the move. I think this puts the Rams in a tough spot with Goff. I think the Cowboys and Dak Prescott in his camp is probably smiling right now, thinking to themselves, okay, our price tag just went up. So I give credit to the Eagles for getting it done and getting it locked up early.
Now that is a strong point there, and that was similar to what Colin was saying. Kudos for the Eagles for kind of setting the market price with Carson Wentz and some of these young hotshot quarterbacks. So now the Cowboys look at that type of deal, and I'm sure they weren't anticipating paying Dak Prescott anywhere near $32 million a year. Shame on the Cowboys for not maybe getting a deal done earlier, because I think the price just went up for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, two teams battling for the division, probably. Eagles supposed to win 9.5 games this year, says Vegas. That's their season win over under. Dallas at 9 wins, says Vegas.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.